So go to James chapter 5, and that's where we're going to start this evening. James chapter 5, verse 16, he says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. I wonder if he prayed earnestly that second time. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again. Well, was it earnest? Well, we actually have a record of whether or not it was earnest. Because this, when he prayed again for it to rain, we have that in the book of 1 Kings. And he told, this is after his confrontation with the prophets of Baal, and he told King Ahab, he said, "You better prepare your chariot and get down off the mountain, because I hear the sound of abundance of rain." And so the Bible says he went down and he put his face between his knees. Doesn't use the word prayer there, but we know he was praying. And he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, "Go and see if you see anything." And his servant came back and said, "Nothing." And he kept praying, though. He was earnest. He said, he prayed it more. He said, "Go again, go again, go again," seven times. And finally, the seventh time, servant comes back and he says, "I see a cloud the size of a man's hand." And Elijah said, "That's it." And by the time he got back and reported that, it said the sky was filled with dark clouds and there was a heavy rain. And so, yes, he prayed earnestly both times. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. And then in James 5:16, it says, in the New Living Translation, it says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person," look at this, "has what? Great power, and produces what? Wonderful results." Everybody say, "Great power and wonderful results." Praise God. That's what the earnest prayer of a righteous person produces, okay? And so he's saying, again, notice he says this about Elijah. He said Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He uses Elijah for an example, and he says, look, Elijah's not some super prophet, some, you know, superhero. He's a man, just like a person, just like you and me. So if Elijah could pray earnestly and great things would happen, then you and I can pray earnestly. Amen? And great things can happen. And we can have great power and produce wonderful results. Our prayers can. Amen? The Amplified Bible says it this way, "The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working." Praise God. So I just want to stir us up tonight with this thought. Great things happen when God's people pray. Great things happen when God's people pray. Well, what if we don't pray? Well, we'll miss out on great things. Amen. Great things happen when God's people pray. It says it right here, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power, produces wonderful results. What if that righteous person fails to pray? What if we don't pray? Well, we miss out on great power, and we miss out on wonderful results. We miss out on great provision being made available to us. We miss out on great deliverances being made available to us. We miss out on great healings being made available to us. We miss out on great favor being bestowed on us. We miss out on great restoration and many other great things if we fail to pray. That's why the devil fights us in the area of prayer. That's why he tries to keep us from praying. That's why he tries to condemn us and discourage us and tell us, "Oh, well, God wouldn't hear your prayers." That's why he tries to fill our minds with doubts and, "Oh, your prayers won't work." But our prayers will work, amen, if we'll pray according to the Word of God, amen. We give you a couple of examples tonight. We could look at a lot throughout the Bible on this theme, great things happen when God's people pray. But here's a wonderful deliverance that happened. The kingdom of Judah, when Hezekiah was king, under the reign of Hezekiah, they were being threatened by the Assyrian kingdom under King Sennacherib. And what if your name was Sennacherib? Well, he was the king in that day, King Sennacherib. and he had led his army to the outskirts of Jerusalem. They were threatening to take the city of Jerusalem, and he wrote a letter to Hezekiah threatening him and warning him, we're going to come in here, we're going to breach the wall, we're going to destroy the city, we're going to kill you all, we're going to take all your stuff. And that was a letter that he wrote. He said, you might as well just surrender to me right now. And so we'll pick it up, the scripture, up in verse 14 of 2 Kings 19. It says, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And look at what it says he did here. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. He took that letter, that threatening letter that King Sennacherib had written, and he spread it out before the Lord. All right? Verse 15, then Hezekiah did what?
Prayed.
He did what?
Prayed.
He prayed before the Lord and said, oh, Sennacherib, he is a great king, and there's no way that we can... No. How did he start his prayer? He said, oh, Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Yeah. Praise God. He starts off his prayer talking about how big God is. Amen. And then he prays this. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands. So Sennacherib's letter had said, look, we've taken this country and we've taken this land and their gods couldn't defend them. What makes you think your God is going to defend you? But Hezekiah knew that those other kingdoms and those other lands, those gods were just idols. But Hezekiah knew, hey, we're serving the true God. Amen. We're worshiping the true God, the living God. Yes. Amen. And he says, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God. You alone. Praise God. I love the way he prayed. Again, first he talked about how big God was. He said, you're the God that dwells between the cherubim. You're over all the kingdoms of the earth. You are the one who made heaven and earth, and you alone are God. Praise God. And then he stated the threat from Sennacherib and his army. Here's what Sennacherib has said he's going to do. And then he asked for God to intervene. Praise God. Well, what happened next? Verse 20 says this, 1 Kings 19, verse 20, then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, notice this next phrase, because you have prayed to me, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. What if Hezekiah hadn't prayed? What if he had not prayed? But he says, because you prayed to me, I have heard. Praise God. Well, what happened? What did God do? How did things work out? Verse 32, Isaiah still prophesying or still speaking to Hezekiah. After Hezekiah prays, God gives Isaiah a word to bring to it. And so he says, because you prayed to me, I've heard. And then he tells him this in verse 32, therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return. And he shall not come into this city, says the Lord, for I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. He said he's not going to come into the city. He's not going to build a siege mound against it. He's not going to shoot an arrow in the city. You know, he's going to turn around and he's going to go back home. Now, you know, if Hezekiah, this is a great word. This is a great promise from God. But if Hezekiah is like us, it's possible he was thinking, Well, that sounds good, but I don't understand. God, how's this going to happen? I mean, it looks impossible. I mean, here he is. He's got this vast army. We're greatly outnumbered. He's got no reason to turn around and leave. He's got every reason to attack us. He knows that he has us outnumbered. He knows he has us outflanked. He knows that we don't have anybody coming, any other allies coming to help us. What's to stop him? Well, God has a way. And because Hezekiah had prayed, God had put a plan into action. And I'm sure it was far beyond Hezekiah's understanding on how God was going to do it. But see, that's not our part. We don't have to figure out how God's going to do it. We just have to pray. We just have to call on him. We just have to ask him to intervene. Amen? Look at and God intervened in quite a dramatic way. Look at what it says in verse 35. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. We lost in the Vietnam War, the United States lost, was it 60,000 soldiers? Anybody know Vietnam? Is that right? I think we had 60,000, which was a tragedy, a horrible tragedy. 60,000 soldiers killed in the entire Vietnam War. In one night, the angel of the Lord went through the camp of the Assyrians and killed 185,000 in one night. And when the people arose early in the morning, there were their corpses all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed. I would have too, wouldn't you? Departed and went away and returned home and remained at Nineveh. He said, I'm not going down there anymore. I'm not going to mess with those people anymore. I'm not going to mess with the kingdom of Judah. I'm not going to mess with their God anymore. Amen. We see in Acts chapter 4, and I think we probably looked at this scripture or part of it last or 2 weeks ago when I was with you last time on Wednesday. But we see the early church praying in a similar manner. In Acts chapter 4, verse 23, Peter and John, this is after the lame man at the beautiful gate was healed, and the elders, the Jewish leaders, called them in and threatened them and said, you can't speak to anybody anymore in this name of Jesus. All right? And verse 23 of Acts 4, it says, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And so they'd threatened them. You can't speak anymore in the name of Jesus. All right? So when they heard that, they're trying to shut down the church. You know, we had a pastor here in America, in California, John MacArthur. He's been quite outspoken. He gave a message on Sunday talking about biblical sexuality. Part of what he said was, he said, you are either XX or you're XY. In other words, you're either male or you're female. He said there is no such thing as transgender. It's all an imagination. It's in people's. It's a demonic deception. Is what it is. He said you're either XX or you're XY. You're either male or female. And he said, if you try to be anything else, he said, you're really fighting against God and God's design. You're saying, God, you don't know what you were doing when you made me. And you're fighting against God and against God's plan. Because he said that and defined the not only the biblical position. You know, it's interesting too that, you know, for years, you know, science has says, oh, well, you know, you either believe in the Bible or you believe in science. Well, now, science or whatever has or society has gone off the rails to where we've got to go back to the Bible to say, hey, wait a minute, this is what science and biology and physiology says, male and female. Yep. Amen. Amen. So for saying those things, he's banned, I think, permanently from YouTube. And from Twitter too. He's banned for declaring the truth, for declaring scientific, biological truth confirmed by the Bible. Amen. And so they were facing something similar. They were trying to silence them. They were trying to censor them. the elders, and they said, you can't speak to anyone else in the name of Jesus. We've suspended your YouTube account. All right. I guess it was a YouTube account in that day. All right. They were all Jews, so. All right. And so in verse 23, it says, being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, what did they do? They raised their voice to God. What is that? That's prayer, isn't it? They raised their voice. Great things happen when God's people pray. They raised their voice to God with one accord. And how'd they pray? They started praying the same way that Hezekiah did. They started talking about how big God was. Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. They just wanted to remind themselves, hey, this is who we're praying to. The God that we are praying to is the one who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them. He alone is God. So first they talked about how big God was. Then in verse 25, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. So they're praying Psalm 2. You'll find that what they prayed there, you'll find that in the second Psalm. That's Psalm 2. They're quoting Psalm 2. So they're praying the Word. Amen? We're praying correctly when we pray the Word of God. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit to pray Scripture that fit their situation. Amen. And that's how we ought to pray. And if we'll follow the Holy Spirit and listen to Him and let Him lead us, He will inspire us to pray Scripture that fits our situation. Amen. Praise God. That's why we need to know the Scripture. That's why we need to read the Scripture. That's why we need to have it inside us so the Holy Spirit can remind us of it. Amen. All right. And then they stated the threat from those that were opposing and threatening them. Verse 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Verse 29, and then they asked God to intervene. In verse 29, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants, give us wisdom in order that we may go and appease these people and that we can work out some sort of amicable agreement to where we don't offend them and they don't offend us. And we're going to start printing up those bumper stickers for our cars that say coexist. No. Lord, grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Now, do we believe in coexisting with other people? Absolutely. You know, we're not trying to force anything on anybody. We're offering, we're boldly proclaiming the good news and making it available. Amen. But we're not going to silence, and we're not going to stop proclaiming the truth and the gospel. Amen. Under any threat. Praise God. Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. They're saying, make us more bold. Amen. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Great things happened because God's people prayed. Amen. And I believe great things will happen today when we pray. Amen. I believe we should expect that when we pray, great things are going to happen. Amen. So how should we pray? I want to give us six ways that we should pray tonight. You might want to write these down. These are good. These will help you. Praise God. Number one, of course, we should pray in faith. How should I pray? I should pray in faith. Amen. Matthew 21 and verse 22. Jesus says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, what's the key word? Believing. That's faith. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So it's believing prayer that gets answered. It's believing prayer that makes great things happen. Amen? So believe, it's not enough just to pray. We have to believe when we pray. Amen? Praise God. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So number one, we must pray in faith. Number two, we must pray with fervency. Or another way to say that would be desire. Jesus said, whatever things you desire in Mark 11:24. Whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. And so it has to be a desire. There has to be a fervency. The scripture we looked at earlier, it says that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Another translation says earnest. Elijah prayed earnestly. He prayed fervently. So we need to pray with fervency. We need to pray with desire. Amen? Praise God. The third way we need to pray is we need to pray in humility. We need to pray in humility. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14 says this, if my people who are called by my name will what? Humble themselves and pray. Humble themselves and pray. What does that mean? It means that we recognize that we need and that we must have God's help and God's intervention. And we humble ourselves by saying, God, I can't fix this on my own. God, I can't work this out on my own. I need your wisdom. I need your favor. I need your hand. I need your strength. I need your intervention. Amen. That's humbling ourselves, recognizing, realizing I need God's help. Amen? Amen. So we pray in humility. Praise God. And then number four, we need to pray. We must pray with confidence. Pray with confidence. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now this is the what? Confidence. Now this is the confidence that we have in ourselves. In Him. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have. That's confidence to know you have it. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So we can and we should pray with absolute confidence. Amen. We shouldn't, you know, as I've talked about many times, you know, sometimes they call a desperation pass at the end of a football game from the 50-yard line or further, they call it a Hail Mary pass. You know, they were the Cowboys were playing. Anybody watch the Cowboys and the 49ers? Did you watch that, Rebecca? Cowboys and I know Rebecca might be the only football fan in here besides me, but she loves LSU college football. So you watch the pros at all, though?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the Saints are good.
The Saints.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sorry.
Well, we love her. We still love her. All right. Anyway, the 49ers were playing the Cowboys, and the 49ers pretty much had the game sealed, but the Cowboys had 32 seconds left in the game, and they had no timeouts left. And so they made a couple of passes for you, and the guy catches the ball, then steps out of bounds, stops the clock. And so they get to midfield, and everybody's thinking, okay, now Prescott, the quarterback for the Cowboys, now he's going to throw a Hail Mary pass, you know, and try to win the game that way. Well, he decided to run the ball, of all things. And the only problem with it, if you run the ball up the middle, the clock doesn't stop. And so he runs the ball, and they run out of time, and they don't get to run another play. And so that ended the game, and so the 49ers won, and the sports people said the Cowboys found yet another way to lose. So I'm glad I'm not a Cowboys fan. Bless their hearts. But anyway, you know, in a football game, you throw a desperation, you know, there's like a 1 in 100 chance that it might be completed. The quarterback gets back and heaves it all the way down into the end zone, and all the other players run down there, and there's a big pile, and one of them tries to jump up and catch it, but usually there's 4 or 5 defenders there to knock it away, and it almost never works. 1 time out of 100, the Hail Mary pass works. Well, why do they call it a Hail Mary? Because the Hail Mary is a prayer, right? It's a prayer. See, that's communicating subconsciously. We really don't have confidence that this prayer is going to be answered. We're just going to sling it up, you know. And that's the way a lot of Christians pray. I'm just going to sling something up, and maybe it's going to work, and maybe God will hear me. No, this is the confidence. As New Testament believers, this is the confidence that we have in Him. Hallelujah. And again, our confidence is not in ourselves, but our confidence is in, if we'll do what he lays out right here, we can know when we pray, we can know we have it. Amen. We ought to pray with confidence. This is the confidence we have in Him. What is that? If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. What does that mean? Oh, I know, Pastor. It means that you end every prayer with, if it be thy will. Well, wait a minute. Is that confidence? Now, is there a time to pray, if it be thy will? Well, Jesus, before He went to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed this way. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. Not my will, Your will be done. All right? So there is a time to pray that, but that's when you're consecrating your life to the will of God. That's when you're saying, Lord, I would like to go down this career path. Lord, I seem led to want to do this and go this direction with my life. But with Jesus, you know, he knew what He was facing. He knew what He was about to deal with, more than even just the physical suffering. He knew that He was going to be facing, having the weight of the world, of the sin of the world placed on Him. And He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from Me. You know, if there's another way than Me having to drink this cup of the sin of the world and the punishment for that sin, if there's any other way, let's work it out. But if not, I'm willing to do it. And that's the way we should dedicate our lives to God. Lord, whatever You want me to do, I'm willing to do. All right? But if you're praying about provision, if you're praying about healing, if you're praying about... Would we tell someone to pray if they're unsaved and we're trying to lead them to Christ? Would we say, well, pray and ask God to save you if it's His will? Fred, you've led a lot of people to the Lord. Do you tell them to pray that way?
Never.
Why? Because you know it's His will. How do you know His will, Fred? It's in the Word. Yes, sir. That's it. That's how we know His will. Amen. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So how do we find out His will? It's in His Word. His Word is His will. Amen. Healing is His will. Provision is His will. Amen. My God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, amen, may have an abundance of every good work. It's God's will to meet your needs. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Is it God's will to provide our needs? Absolutely. Is it God's will to heal us? Absolutely. By stripes you were healed. Amen. So we shouldn't pray, when we pray for provision or for healing or for anything else that Jesus provided in redemption, we don't pray, if it be thy will. We don't tack that on. No, we find out what His will is through His Word, and then we ask according to His will. Amen. And what does it say if we ask according to His will? He hears us. That's the confidence we have. If we ask according to His will, if we pray according to a promise in the Word, then He hears us. And if we know He hears us, whatever we ask, He says, we know that we have. The Amplified says they're granted us as our present possessions. We know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. So thank God we can pray with confidence. We can pray with confidence, with absolute confidence. Confidence that God is true to His Word. And if we meet this condition, then we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. Amen. All right, let's move on and cover the last two quickly here. Number five is this: pray with boldness. Pray, Pastor, I thought you said we're supposed to pray with humility. Well, we are. Boldness and humility are not mutually exclusive. Amen. You can pray with humility, but also with boldness. Amen. Boldness doesn't mean arrogance. Amen. Not at all. Hebrews 4:16 says this. It says, let us therefore what? Come how? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. How are we to come in prayer? We're to come boldly. We're to come boldly. Amen? Let's come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? We can obtain mercy. We can find grace to help in the time of need. Why? Because we know our Heavenly Father freely offers it. Because we know that He wants to provide it. Amen? Praise God. In Hebrews 10, verse 19, He says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest. What gives us boldness? He says, by the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Because of the blood, I can come boldly. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't have to hear and heed that condemning voice that says, you've not been perfect. You've missed it here or there. Thank God I can come and say, Father, I'm coming before you because of the blood of Jesus. I'm entering your presence through the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. And you can too. Amen. We have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Praise God. And then finally, number six, how should we pray? We should pray in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Amen. We should pray in faith. We should pray in humility. We should pray with confidence. We should pray with boldness. And we should pray with fervency. I skipped that one. Pray in faith. Pray with fervency. Pray in humility. Pray with confidence. Pray with boldness. And pray in the Spirit. Praise God. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. How? Is it up there? Yeah. There we go. Yeah. In the Spirit. Did you see it in there? It's in there, right? It wasn't taken out. No, it's there. In the Spirit. Let's say it together. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. In the Spirit. In the Spirit. All right. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always in the Spirit. So we should pray in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. In Jude 20, he says this, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So we're admonished, and there's other scriptures we could look at too on this, but we're admonished to pray in the Spirit. Praise God. See, there's a connection there that we need to make with the Holy Spirit. He's our helper in prayer. Romans 8 tells us that. In Romans 8, it says the Spirit helps us in our weakness when we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. Amen. So we need to pray in faith, absolutely. But we also need to pray being led by the Holy Spirit. And this also includes, it's not limited to, but it also includes praying in other tongues. Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Yeah. And Amplified there says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. And he says, what is the conclusion then? He said, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. The understanding being his known language. He said, I'm going to pray both ways. I'm going to pray in my known language, which we should do. Amen. We should pray in our known language, and we should express in our with our thoughts that we can construct in our minds, amen, and with our own language, prayers to God. We can pray the Word of God in our own language, but then there are situations that we don't know to pray for as we ought. You know, maybe it's not covered completely. Thank God we can pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to pray both ways. Yeah. Praise God. So, let's do a little praying. Let's take about the last 15 minutes or so here, and let's do some praying. Praise God. We're going to pray. I've got a list of five areas here, and we got some prayer requests. Thank you, Royal. Praise God. We'll be sure to cover those. All right. Praise the Lord. In fact, we'll just start with these. Well, no, let's Let's keep the order right according to Scripture. The Scripture says, first of all, pray for those in authority. Do you have one to add, Fred?
I would like to pray a little bit.
We will. Yeah, we sure will. We'll make time. Just remind me when we get toward the end of our prayer time, and I sure will. Praise God. But the Bible says, first of all, to pray in 1 Timothy 2, to pray for kings and all those who are in authority. Amen. So we're going to start right there. So let's just pray. And again, keep in mind that what we talked about tonight, that great things happen. Great things happen when God's people pray. So, Father, we just come before you tonight in the name of Jesus, and we lift our voices up to you with one accord. And, Father, you did tell us in your word, you said, first of all, that we are to pray for kings and for all those who are in authority. Father, in our nation, we understand that to be the president, the vice president, their administration. We understand that to be our Congress, the House of Representatives and the Senate, our Supreme Court. We pray for our leaders, Father, in the name of Jesus. We lift them up to you. We pray, Lord, for our state and local officials as well. And Father, we pray for your wisdom to come to them in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father God, that your divine wisdom, that a supply of that wisdom would come to them. And we pray, Father God, that they would yield their hearts and open their hearts and turn their hearts to your wisdom and not the wisdom of this world and not the wisdom that your word says in the book of James that is of a demonic origin. Father, we pray that they would not follow that demonic wisdom, but they would follow your divine wisdom in the name of Jesus. And also, we take authority. We take our position in Christ and our authority in Christ, and we take authority over the demonic forces that would try to cause confusion and division and upheaval in our nation and destruction in our nation. And we say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, take your hands off of our nation. In the name of Jesus, you foul spirits, you principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that are trying to operate in this nation and bring deception in our nation and confusion, as we were talking about earlier, people being confused as to how they've been created, as to whether they're even male or female. Such deception, such darkness and confusion. And on so many levels, Lord, that are running contrary to the clear truth of your word. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, and we take authority over these demonic forces, over these demonic lies in the name of Jesus, and we command them to be silenced in the name of Jesus. We command these foul spirits, you stop in your operations in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you and we praise you that you're working in our nation. We praise you, Lord. You said that if your people who are called by your name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek your face, that you would hear from heaven, that you would forgive our sin, and that you would heal our land. Father, we believe you're able to do that. And Father, we know that you're the only one who can do that. You're the only one, Lord, that can heal our nation. You're the only one that can solve these problems of our economy, these problems in our society, Lord. These the problems with the homelessness and with the homeless people now going in broad daylight and attacking and even killing that young girl in Los Angeles the other day, working in that store, just wandered in off the street in broad daylight, and situations like that, Lord. We know you're the only one that can heal our nation, Father. And we're calling on you now, in Jesus' name, heal our land. Heal our nation, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we believe that when we pray, that when God's people pray, that great things can happen. And so, Father, we thank you. And we believe that righteousness is rising in our nation in the name of Jesus. And the powers of darkness are being thwarted in our nation in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Father, that your divine wisdom will be given, Lord, to those in positions of authority and those, Lord, who will hear your voice and follow you, Lord, and that they can come up with godly solutions and wise solutions to these issues, Father, that seem to be plaguing our nation right now. We thank you that you have a solution in Jesus' name. And we thank you for a turning to God. We thank you for a rising of righteousness in our nation once again. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, Lord Jesus, you said also, you said pray. You said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You said pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into his harvest. So we pray about that now, Lord. We pray about this harvest of souls. And we know that the harvest that Jesus was talking about are people that that he died for, that don't yet know him as Savior and Lord. That's the harvest that he was talking about. And we pray about this harvest, Lord. Lord, there are many, not only in our nation, but around the world, that don't know you as Lord and Savior. Many have never even heard of you. Many have never even heard the gospel, the truth of your word presented to them, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus for laborers to be sent forth into the harvest. We pray, Lord, that you would raise people up, Lord, to go and carry the gospel, not both in this nation and from this nation, in the name of Jesus. And we pray also, Lord, for the harvest right here in Forsyth County, as you've placed on our heart, Lord, especially to pray, Lord, for all the people that have come here from Central Asia, Lord, from the many nations in Central Asia, and also from the Far East, Father, the many thousands that have come right here to Forsyth County in recent years. We pray for them, Father, in the name of Jesus. We know that many of them have come for maybe for political freedom or for economic opportunity, but Lord, we also know that you brought them here so they could hear the gospel, so they could hear about Jesus. And we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that there'd be a great harvest right here in Forsyth County from among the people of Central Asia and the Far East, of them coming to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, of them coming to a saving knowledge.